And then we also live in a hopeful faith. We live in a hopeful faith. As I've already said, the world is loud. The news is depressing and fear-inducing. It can be so easy to not look beyond what we see and enter into despair. There we go. But Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just a little bit, not just sometimes, but always. And to make it more emphatic, he says, again, rejoice. What he's calling us to, what he's instructing us to, is not based on our own circumstances. It's not based on what we see in front of us. It's based on Christ. Who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. That as he said, as I've already said today, that he left his home in heaven, he dwelled among us, he lived in obedience, perfect obedience, unto death on a cross, and therefore God exalted him to the right hand, and one day every knee will bow. That he laid down his life so that I could be forgiven of my wrongdoings, my sin. He laid down his life so that I could have victory over sin and death, the victory found in him. And the result of that is living a life of deep gladness that comes from knowing God and being known by him. We all place our faith in something. We all place our faith in something. We may place our faith in things that are fleeting, or we can place our faith in something eternal and unchanging, and that is our faith in Christ. Almost 20 years ago now, when I was in acting school, it was playoff time, and the Canucks weren't in the playoffs, which is not surprising. And so my friend, who was a Flames fan, but still, said, do you want to come and watch the game? So we watched one game with him, and it was at one of his friend's house. And we went every day to watch the game at his friend's house. They're both from Calgary. It's okay if you're from Calgary, but just like, let go of the Flames. His friend loved the Flames too much. And I'll explain why. The Flames were eliminated from the playoffs, and he took his laptop and he, MacBook Pro, by the way, and smashed it on the ground, shattered it, because he was so upset. That is the example of a man, boy, young adult, who placed his faith in something that was not meant for faith. It's okay to like a hockey team. It's okay. It's okay to be despairing over the Canucks a little bit. There's a little bit of hope there too, but that hope is fleeting and it will never fulfill. We all place our hope in something. We are to place our hope in Christ. And when we do that, the result is joy. The result is joy because it's not based on our circumstances anymore. It's not based on whether or not our team won the hockey game. It's based on what Christ has done. And the next command that he gives for hopeful faith is to let your gentleness be apparent to all. Let your gentleness be apparent to everyone. Now that word gentleness, we could also translate as responsibility, care, thoughtfulness, or consideration. Essentially, the joy that we have should spill out of us and turn us from an inward focus to an outward focus where we, as Paul says earlier, consider others' needs ahead of our own, where we actually care for other people. And this is in all of our relationships, our internal beliefs, what we believe, what we trust in, leads us to an attitude where we have joy and leads us to outward action, where our faith, our hopeful faith, is seen in action, in us caring for other people. But it all starts with our relationship with Christ. It's not start with doing a bunch of good things. That's going to end up putting your hope in the wrong place. Our hope has to first be placed in Christ, and what comes out of us is genuine care for others. Genuine care for others. And he says up there that the Lord is near or close or present. This is a key theme in the book of Philippians, that God's presence is with us. And so he's reminding them, God's presence is here so you can pray. So you can pray. What concerns you? What keeps you up at night? What fears do you have circling around in your head? Every single one of those we are to bring to God in prayer. The word used for that we translate as anxiety here doesn't mean someone with an anxiety disorder, although praying, I'm sure, can help with that. It means unnecessary worry. It means worrying about everything. And it can lead to deep levels of anxiety when we're worrying about everything. But the good news is we may have worries. There are legitimate reasons to be concerned and to worry. But as my dad always says, when anything comes up, go to your knees. I'm pretty sure he means to pray, because I tried just kneeling and it didn't work so well. Go to your knees. Pray. Bring it to God. Everything. With prayer and petition. That means talk to God often and be persistent. Whatever is troubling you, whatever is vexing you, whatever keeps you up at night, just bring it to God and keep bringing it to God. He is the only one who can truly handle it. Bring it to God. And this passage even gives us the posture to come in with thanksgiving, with gratitude, not entitlement. Gratitude for what he has done already, recognizing that we are forgiven, recognizing that we've been brought into a family, recognizing that we are no longer defined by our sin but are defined by Christ. Enter in with gratitude. And it says present, not demand, not negotiating or bargaining, not saying, God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, but just say, here's my requests. I lay them at your feet. Hopeful faith says, God, I trust you. I trust that you can deal with these things. I know you can. I trust you will. As I said, with hands open, not my will, but your will be done. In 2019, I really struggled with deep anxiety. There's an event that went along with that. My oldest daughter was born. And all of a sudden, there was a tiny little person that I was responsible for. And if anything happened to me, what's going to happen to her? And I got worried about everything. Everything. To the point that some days it was quite debilitating. My mistake was not talking to God about it. My mistake was not talking to God about it. Because when I did, I realized God loves Ray more than me. He cares for her better than I ever can. And so if I fast forward to 2022, when I actually had a reason to be anxious because my son was in the emergency room and we were trying to figure out what was wrong with him, my response was to pray. And the crazy thing was, even though type 1 diabetes comes with a whole host of life-changing things that have to happen, and it changed everything, there was something different. And it was the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I sat in that hospital room, Melissa sat in that hospital room, and both of us thought, okay, We know what's wrong. We trust God. Let's go. Now, that was not an easy place to come to, but it started with prayer. It started with prayer. And it continues with prayer to this day. And that term, the peace that surpasses all understanding, it's not just a peace that doesn't make sense, although that's part of it. It's a peace that I can't get to by my own understanding or reasoning or ability to think through a situation on my own. It's a peace that I cannot reason myself to, not think myself through. I could research every little detail about type 1 diabetes, which I think I have by this point. I can do all of those things. I can research every little thing. But that will not bring true peace. It'll bring temporary peace. It'll bring temporary hope until the next issue comes up. But when I bring it all to God in prayer, when I ask for His help, when I lay it at His feet, when I say, I trust you, well, that changes everything. Because the peace I get is not a peace that I arrived at on my own. It's a peace that doesn't make sense. And what does it do? It protects my heart and mind. It protects my inner thoughts. It helps prevent me from spiraling out of control about diving into anxiety. God is the giver of peace. Our job is to just turn to Him, to turn to Him with hopeful faith. That is part of being a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. So hopeful faith will rejoice in Christ, care for others, and pray about everything. No matter how small, no matter how insignificant, if it's something that concerns you, pray about it. Bring it to God. Trust Him with everything. And then finally, Paul instructs us to a hopeful mindset. A hopeful mindset. He says, think deeply about these things, whatever is true or truthful, honorable, worthy of respect, whatever is right, just, correct action, whatever is pure, freed from corruption, holy, whatever is lovely or beautiful in creation, in speech, in our attitudes, whatever is admirable in others, whatever is praiseworthy in others. Those last two really encompass all the things that we could think of. This encompasses the mindset and attitude that is worthy of the citizenship of heaven that we have, the highest character. It is worthy of aspiring to. He tells us to think on these things. Because what we think about, what we dwell on, will spill out in our actions at some point. What we truly dwell on will inform our actions. What we dwell on will inform our faith. If we dwell on negative, destructive things, our faith will suffer. If we dwell on these things, good things, godly things, it will strengthen our faith. And Paul says, whatever you've learned from me, whether you've heard it from me directly, whether you've received it, or whether you've seen it in me, put it into practice. Whatever you've seen, put it into practice. A hopeful mindset thinks on the things of God, ponders the things of God, spends time thinking about what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, thinks about those things, and then can identify them through Scripture and through seeing other people, and then seeks to follow, put those things into practice as we see them lived out in others. So a hopeful mindset is focused on godly things and practices a godly pattern of life. So heavenly citizenship comes with a pattern of life that is built on hope we have in Christ, that plays out in our hopeful community, our hopeful faith, and our hopeful mindset. Because no matter what our circumstances, our relationships, our worries, every single thing must come face to face with the reality of God, with the reality of salvation, with the reality of forgiveness of sins, with the reality of our new life in Christ, with the reality of God's presence with us, with the reality of our heavenly hope. How do we do that? I think the best way to be able to think on these things is to find time, wherever it is, whenever it is, to be alone with God and thank Him and think about Him and think about who He is and what He has done. That might mean just waking up extra early in the morning before everybody else and sitting at the kitchen counter, reading the Bible and praying. That's been my pattern. Or it might mean that one day you go walk into nature somewhere and sit and be alone with God in creation for a little while. But find those moments to develop that heavenly mindset, to develop that hopeful mindset. What we're called to is beautiful in its simplicity, to trust, to simply be faithful. Christian life is more than just memorizing facts and doctrine and beliefs. Our beliefs, our trust in Christ, the forgiveness we've received, our trust in His rule, His return, all those things spill out of us in how we live, how we interact with others. Living a life that honors God, that is faithful to Him, is beautiful, life-giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your amazing love. We thank You that You entered into humanity, Lord Jesus, and lived a obedient, perfect, sinless life and laid Your life down on the cross, taking our punishment upon Yourself. And in through Your death and resurrection, there's forgiveness of sins, there's new life. And I pray You would help us to live out our new life with hope. As hopeful citizens, pray we'd remember our passport is from heaven. And that You would help us to live hopefully in community as we extend grace to one another and resolve our differences. As we trust You in every aspect of our lives, bringing anything that concerns us to You. And as we think on, dwell on, ponder, and practice godly things, I pray that You would move in and through us and that You would complete the good work that You have already begun in us. Give us faith to trust that You are at work. In Jesus' name, amen.